returned to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world.
All right, another big story making the rounds across the valley over the last hour or so. DeAndre Ayton is going to remain with the Suns.
Have a breaking news alert here, a trade in the NBA. Utah Jazz are sending Rudy Gobert to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, this running the fast break. Here we go, Rick, the NBA offseason in full swing. Spurs traded guard DeJounte Murray to Atlanta last night. Major breaking news out of the NBA, where Kevin Durant has requested a trade.
Hey guys, it's JJ Peters, host of the Sports Town podcast, but you probably already knew that. All right, so today, I know it's been a while since we've done an episode, but I was finally able to get someone to come on. Ryan Corman from the Around the League basketball podcast came on. We talked about pretty much everything NBA. We talked about the NBA Finals, the recap, which is crazy about it. It was about a month ago when it ended. Then we also talked about the draft, free agency, like DeJounte Murray to the Hawks, how that trade went, the Rudy Gobert trade. We also talked about where Kevin Durant goes, where he fits. We also talked about Donovan Mitchell. Would the Knicks be the best option? Would the Heat be the best option? We also talk about some other things as well. We talk about the draft, which rookie is going to end up being the best. We talk all about that. We even talk about more as well. So again, we have Ryan Corman. Now, we did last year, which is crazy. We had his guest, or we had his co-host come on, Jake. But now this time we had Ryan Corman come on. It was a great conversation. You will enjoy it thoroughly. Again, we will upload the video on YouTube very soon. It's not released at the time of this recording, but it will be soon after the audio officially comes out. Sorry we haven't done much of the sports lightning round or questions from Instagram. I just haven't had the time. But again, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. I did rename it to the Sports Town because we do more than just the podcast now. But I'm basically releasing new content every day, especially on TikTok and YouTube. And we're also on Instagram as well. Basically, all our social media sites will be down in the description below, along with Around the League Basketball Podcast. It was great. We're also hoping to talk about hockey very soon. I've got some guys that are supposed to come on soon, but at the moment, it's not been able to work out. So again, you will enjoy this thoroughly. And after that, I think that's about it. So again, let's get on to the episode with Ryan Corman. Before we start today's episode, I'd like to give a quick shout to our sponsor of today's video. And that sponsor is our good friends over at HelpYouFind.me. You're probably asking yourself, JJ, what is HelpYouFind.me? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Peter Sanchez, the founder, creator, and owner, was originally worried about his daughter and his mom always asking him for his travel details. HelpYouFind.me was initially created for collective peace of mind. 48 hours. These are the most critical moments to find you in the event of an emergency, or worse, waiting for the legal process to access your important history information, which can take up to weeks upon weeks upon weeks. With HelpYouFind.me, you have your own secure and encrypted digital If I Go Missing file that can give you your most trusted people access to virtual information much sooner than the authorities. Each person you share with that has its own access rules, and everything is completely encrypted. Not even HelpYouFind.me can access it. This puts you in total control of your data. You can also update your location, submit photos, screenshots, and post random information or notes on the go. It's as easy as texting with a friend. To find out more information, go to HelpYouFind.me. Also, don't forget to use the promo code down below in my description. If you use the promo code STP2021 to get 15% off your first order. Again, that promo code is STP2021 to get 15% off your first order. And go to, if you want more information, go to HelpYouFind.me. And again, I'll put the link down in the description down below. All right, let's get back to the show. And now onto our interview with Ryan Corman from Around the League Basketball Podcast. All righty, I am pleased to be joined by Ryan Corman of the Around the League Basketball Podcast. How's it going, Ryan?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Doing pretty good. Thanks again for coming on. We had your co-host on, which, crazy enough, that was a year ago. But again, thanks again for coming on. It's been a while since we've done an episode, or at least a podcast episode. So again, thanks for coming on. And of course, we're going to be talking about the NBA and basketball. But if you want to first talk about your podcast, more about yourself, and just before that, or just more about yourself.
Yeah, no. Me and my co-host, like you said, Jake, I think he was on with you guys about a year ago. We've been doing the podcast now for 2.5 years. We took a little break over the past few months, but actually right when you reached out, right, was right when we were getting back into it. We just expanded to YouTube. We're on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all wherever you can get your podcasts. That's where we're at. We just like talking basketball. We've had some NBA players on, some writers on before, and we're going to have some more guys coming on in the next few episodes, actually, trying to get that strained out. But yeah, no, I just, I love talking sports. So anytime I can, that's what I basically do.
All right. Again, thanks for coming on. Yeah. When I saw you guys were coming back, I had to shoot you a message and ask if you wanted to come on. That's really interesting too. You went to YouTube. I got to subscribe to that. And again, all that you were listening that aren't subscribed, go ahead and subscribe to his YouTube channel. It'll be down in the links down or down this description down below. All right. Let's first talk about the NBA finals. I know it was about a month ago, which is crazy now, which it seems like time has gone by so fast recently. But the Warriors did end up winning the series in 6 games. Curry finally gets that finals MVP, the one thing he really hadn't accomplished. What was your first thoughts in the finals? And do you think Curry now is considered a top 10 player of all time now that he has a finals MVP?
For the first question, I thought the Warriors were going to win all along, no matter if they played the Heat or the Celtics. I just thought the way that they were playing throughout the playoffs, I mean, it reminded me a lot of their first championship. Just you had the three core guys and Draymond, Steph, and Klay doing their thing. And then you had complementary pieces around. I thought Andrew Wiggins was phenomenal. And for the first time in his career really showed what type of player he can be. And I think just not having any pressure on him to have to carry a team. And basically he was a third, fourth option at times. Was just, it really impressed me. And then for Steph, it's tough, because I think he probably is there in the top 10. It's just, there's so many guys throughout history that it's, I've had the debate so many times about who's the GOAT and who's the top five and this and that. I don't know. To me, he's one of my favorite players. I've always liked, even when everyone went through the phase of not liking the Warriors, me, I not that I'm a fan of theirs. I'm a Heat fan, but I just always, as you can see behind me with the Dwayne Wade pick, but I just always liked the way they play basketball. And he just seems one of the most selfless players in the league, and what he's done to this league and revolutionized the game. Not many guys have. So with all that being said, I would say probably, yeah, he probably is top 10 of all time.
Well, I mean, there's so many debates, as you mentioned, with Curry being a top 10 player. Where is he ranked? I don't know if he's a top 10 player, but he probably is now a top 5 point guard. And of course, another argument with that would be, is he really a true point guard, which he is. But I don't know if I'd put him in the top 10. A lot of the guys that I've had on have said that he's a top 10 player now of all time. There's just so many good players. And the question is too, with Curry being in the, if you put Curry in the top 10, you have to put someone out of the top 10. And that would be kind of my next question for you. Would a guy like, and I know this is probably crazy too, but I don't know if he played long enough. He's right now a top 10 player, but do you think you would, or what player would you kick out of the top 10 to replace with Curry if you had a choice?
Well, I'm going to go through the list, kind of my top 10. I guess you would have Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Shaq is in there. Who else? I don't know. I mean, you have Larry Bird in your top 10.
I do, but the thing with Larry Bird is I could see him in a few years going out of the top 10 just because he didn't play long enough. But a lot of people that watched Larry Bird are probably going to disagree with me and say how good Larry Bird was, but I don't know if he played long enough to still be a top 10 player in 20 years, right? I definitely have Tim Duncan in the top 10 as well. But I think it's really hard to say because, and Curry's career is not even over yet. He still has a few years of his prime left. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you have to keep Kobe in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You said Tim Duncan. I mean, I think that's someone who many people don't even think about just because of his game wasn't flashy. I mean, Mr. Fundamental. Mm-hmm. You have to have Magic in there. So what are we at? 7-8 players now. Larry, it's tough. That's why it's like, yeah. It's so tough to think like, okay, who am I going to kick out? Because all these guys were so great in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, you know, not have a problem kicking guys out, but then as I've grown, you know, it's just the appreciation for basketball and every person that they've had in their own generation and the impact that they've had on the game. That's why I think Larry and Magic, you're probably right that Larry will start getting bumped out just with how great these guys are getting, but the him and Magic are why the NBA is how it is today. Mm-hmm. Just their impact and reviving the game. That just right there, that to me, that keeps him in the top 10.
Yeah. It's really, as you mentioned too, when I was younger too, I had no problem with taking guys out of the top 10. Right. But, and then if you see their highlights, like Larry Bird's highlights or Magic Johnson's highlights, it's like, wow, these guys were really good. They were at the top of their game at one time. So it is kind of hard to do that, but I don't know. We all know that Jordan is the GOAT. I think LeBron's probably three, but you can't forget about Kareem. He's definitely number two. I mean, he still is the scoring champion, and he did that without shooting it or would not shoot with shooting very many threes. I don't know if we know how many threes he had, but it wasn't much. You still can't forget about Wilt Chamberlain. I understand he didn't play with the best competition, but he did score 100 points, which is very incredible. But it's just, it's really hard to, it'd take months and months about research or like research and stuff like that to see where players would rank and where certain players wouldn't be. And there's also guys like Kevin Durant and Scottie Pippen. Are they top 10 players? Durant probably will be at the end of his career. Pippen probably not, but he's probably somewhere in there between the 11 and 15 range. So, I mean, there's just a lot you have to kind of consider. And then Karl Malone too is another guy that people forget. I guess we'll see what happens. So again, let's go on to, we've kind of talked about the finals. Actually, let's keep talking about the finals a little bit more. As you mentioned, you were very impressed with Andrew Wiggins. Do you think he can do the same thing he did this year, next season?
Yeah, I see no reason why not, just because it's going to be a similar role for him. I think that he's still going to be at times that 3-4 option. He can move up to that second option when needed. You still have Steph there. And when Steph's on the court, when Klay's on the court and you have all that shooting and then you throw in there Jordan Poole and everyone else, it just allows him to get to the rim. It allows, you know, like I said, it's just the culture they have. And I know culture is so overused in sports, but the culture they truly do have in San Francisco is just, it's right for him. There's not, compared to what was going on in Minnesota. And, you know, it's not even like you can compare the two franchises, and that's with all due respect to Minnesota. It's just, I think he's finally found, he came into the league, and I think he just spoke about this recently, but, you know, just being compared to LeBron and this and that, and just with such high expectations that now he's finally, you know, reached a point in his career where it's like, he's comfortable. He knows what he can do, and he's doing it.
And he's probably a better number two option than a number one option, because we all know in Minnesota, he kind of had to be that number one guy. And then eventually Karl Anthony Towns passed him, and it seemed like he wasn't reaching his full potential. Then he goes to Golden State, doesn't have as much pressure on him. You know, Curry's the number one guy, right? Even with the injuries. So I think Wiggins can do the same. I didn't necessarily agree with him starting in the All-Star game, but he definitely was worthy of an All-Star selection. But, he's definitely a better number two option than a number one option. And another player too in the Warriors team is Draymond Green. He's definitely not the same player he was. He did some interesting things during the finals, right? But how many years do you think Draymond Green has left in the NBA total?
Okay. I'll ask you something in return before I answer the question. Is this counting him actually playing, or just because I think as long as he wants to play the Warriors, we'll give him a contract. I think it's similar. And me as a Heat fan, people, you know, get on Udonis Haslem. Oh, you know, he's just, he should just be a coach and this and that. And Heat will give him a contract if he wants to play another 10 years. As crazy as that sounds, I bet they'll give him a contract. For Draymond, I think it's the same thing. I think playable, he still has another 4 or 5 years, I truly think, because of his skill set and the way he processes the game. But he could be there into his early 40s on the bench in goal, you know, as a player technically. But they'll give him the minimum and just let him ride it out until he feels like, hey. But I don't think necessarily he'll do that, just because, I mean, you see what he's doing in terms of, you know, they call it the new media now, that when he feels it's time where he can't play anymore, I bet, you know, he'll move on to his role at TNT and take over for, you know, Chuck or Kenny or one of them, or even get added to the panel there because he works so great with them.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you too. I think he's past his prime. I think the last years of his prime was probably, well, I mean, he still had some left when Durant was there, but he wasn't quite the same as he was a few years ago. But yeah, I think I agree with you. He probably has 4 or 5 more years. I wouldn't be surprised too if he did do something in the, like, I know after he retired, he signed a contract with TNT, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if he went into the Golden State Warriors organization and did something there. I think he could probably still work at TNT. I could just see him also doing something with the Warriors. I think there's a few players, like, I think Sean Livingston did that. I think Zaza did something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did go into the organization and do something. I mean, that's probably what Iggy's going to end up doing, right? So we'll see what happens there. Another thing, too, is recently there's been talks that Durant wants out of Brooklyn. He demanded a trade, I think, 2 weeks ago now. And there's been reports that the Warriors have shown interest. If you were the Warriors, would you trade again for Kevin Durant or no?
He's the second best. At times, he's the best player in the world. I don't care age. At time, you know, you can argue he is the best player in the world. You give up what you need to give up as long as you're not. I say that with kind of a caveat that, you know, as long as it's a smart trade and you're not throwing your team away in a sense. But to me, I always go back to 2010 with, you know, what Pat Riley did. And basically he got LeBron, Wade, and Bosch and no one else on the roster. And I mean, the Warriors know because they've seen it, you know, veteran guys will flock to your team to sign minimums, even when on other teams they can get more money.
Yeah,
because they know they have a chance at a title and they're on the back half of their career. Why not? You know, I mean, they're already all hated anyway. I think maybe the Warriors regained a little bit of love throughout this run that they just had. But it would be a great storyline for this upcoming season if KD opening night was back in that 35 and back in the Bay.
What do you think Golden State would have to give up? Because I don't think they would trade Green. Do you think they'd have to trade Wiggins? I know they'd probably have to trade like Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga and probably Kevon Looney too. But what do you think they would actually have to give up in order to get Kevin Durant?
It's funny. I was just talking about this on my podcast this past week. And I was looking at Kevon Looney's contract and I was like, man, you know, 3 years, $22 million. He's making about $80 a year. With James, because my co-host was like, well, they also have James Wiseman, so how does that, you know, do they not trust James Wiseman? I was like, it makes it a very tradable contract all of a sudden where his salary can be filler. Me personally, I think Moody, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman, two of the three are probably gone. You're going to add in there Wiggins because of his contract. Kevon Looney is another one you can add in there. It give it, you know, and then you're gonna have to throw in a whole bunch of picks. Draymond, I don't think will ever get traded.
Yeah,
just because I know there a few years ago there was talks of it, but I think he, you know, he bleeds, you know, that you know what Golden State basketball is all about, and it'll just listen. It's a business at the end of the day, but some players, it's more than a business, even though fans, you know, don't see it that way. And I think for Draymond, it would surprise me. It would really surprise me.
And do you think, and there was rumors too, that, you know, Draymond Green was the one that recruited Durant, but when Durant left, one of the reasons why was because he had a, not a great relationship with Draymond Green. Do you think Draymond Green and Durant would be able to mend the relationship again if Durant came back?
Yeah. Listen, they're both championship warrior competitors, and no pun intended. I mean, I just think that when you have two guys that want to win that bad at that high level, there's going to be friction. I've never seen a championship team not have, and even if it's not public, have, you know, some sort of internal conflict, and in a good way, not in a bad way. I think it's needed for, you know, if everything's riding smooth, I don't see how you can win. It's just, you need a little bit of fire. Draymond brings that. I think KD likes that in a sense. Even though they put on the perception like, oh, you know, we don't get along and this and that. And yeah, I think they would be totally fine, because Bob Meyer, Steve Kerr will go to Steph Clay and Draymond and say, listen, we have this trade here, and just okay it, and it's a done deal. And before they're set, before he even asked the question, they'll you know, say do it.
Yeah, it would be very wild if he did go back, but I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen, but I don't know. Right now, it doesn't seem like he's going to be traded. But again, I mean, it's the NBA. It's, I mean, it could happen. Anything can happen, because I definitely didn't see Rudy Gobert getting traded, right? Now, speaking of Gobert, he goes to the Timberwolves. Did you think the Timberwolves made the smart decision on going all in for another center?
No. I said this our first podcast back a couple weeks ago, and I made the comparison. I said, this can turn out like the Celtics next trade of, what was that, 10 years ago now? Because I don't, as great of me, I think Rudy Gobert's overrated in a sense. I like Rudy, but I just, he gets played off the floor at times, as great of a defensive center as he is. You put two big guys, this is not the 90s. This isn't, you know, even the early 2000s. I think that you put them in the pick and roll, and they're going to have major issues. And then again, it's Minnesota. If you were to tell me you're putting Cat and Gobert in Golden State, or you're putting them in Miami, you're putting them in Boston, somewhere that an organization that's stable, I'd say, okay, let's see. But when you're putting it in an organization that hasn't proved anything over, you know, in their franchise's history, I truly think that Utah might come out of this looking like, you know, like it was highway robbery.
Well, yeah. And the thing too, as you mentioned, like the 10 years ago when the Nets I think it was 10 years ago when the Nets made the trade, when the Nets made the trade for KG and Paul Pierce, they traded so much and ended up being huge for the Celtics, and the Nets, it took them a while to recover. Right. And I mean, I didn't like the trade either, because we've seen this. I think the Sixers tried that a few years ago when they signed Al Horford and they had Joel Embiid, and it just didn't work. However, it works for the Celtics somehow, even though they started Robert Williams and Al Horford, and that seemed to work great. But again, it is the Timberwolves. They don't make the smartest decisions. I know they're on the come up. They have Anthony Edwards. They have Karl Anthony Towns. They have a solid point guard in D'Angelo Russell, who actually made an all-star team a few years ago. But I think it is a little questionable. I understand too. I've heard some other people say, what else were the Timberwolves going to do? Because not a lot of free agents want to come to Minnesota. I understand that, but I did think they went all in for a guy that, you know, is a great defensive player, but I feel like, I don't know if it's going to mash well with Karl Anthony Towns. And I'm assuming, what were you going
to
say?
No. And also, to me, I look at it, they're not even a championship contender with the move. So to me, I mean, you look at, and I know we're probably going to get into this, but this upcoming year, you have the Clippers coming back with their start. I mean, you have teams getting better and better. To me, I they're a top maybe six seed in the West. Well, yeah, no, they'll be a top six seed in the West, but it's like, to me, they're a first or second round exit, and you traded all of that for, I don't know. I mean, they celebrated a play-in win, so maybe first or second round is for them success, but.
Well, I mean, when they won that play-in game versus the Clippers, it seemed like they had just won it all or something, just like what the Knicks celebrated a year ago when they beat the Hawks that one time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, the Clippers are coming back. They got Kawhi and Paul George. They both seem to be pretty healthy. Paul George, I mean, the Clippers were pretty solid last year, even without Kawhi, and that's going to be a scary team. You got Golden State again. I understand Phoenix has their problems, but they're going to be back. I think the Mavs are going to be much improved. They maybe got a co-star for Luka and Christian Wood. They did lose Jalen Brunson. That's kind of bigger. But the Mavericks are definitely going to be in there. There's a few teams. I mean, the Lakers, I think they're going to rebound. I mean, there's a bunch of other teams too I can mention that I'm just not, that not top of my head for some reason. But I just, yeah, it is a little questionable what the Jazz did. But speaking of the Jazz, it's rumored that they are now listening to trade offers for Donovan Mitchell, which isn't necessarily super surprising. But it was also reported too that the Knicks did, or the Jazz did offer a trade to the Knicks basically for what, six picks or something like that, Miles McBride, Emmanuel Quickley, and something else. And the Jazz reportedly, or not the Jazz, the Knicks reportedly turned it down. If you were the Knicks, would you trade for Donovan Mitchell?
Probably just because you're the Knicks and you need something. The thing is, again, we were talking about the Timberwolves. Are the Knicks even a top six seed in the East after you get rid of everything you're getting rid of with Donovan Mitchell? You're giving up. Now, you can make the argument that stars attract other stars, and Donovan, I know, is a very liked player throughout the league, and maybe that's, you know, the rebirth of New York. But I don't know. It's a lot. It seemed, you know, I think the Rudy Gobert trade really made the market what it shouldn't be, and credit to the Jazz for pulling that off. But it, for, you know, the KD and Donovan Mitchell trade, now, you know, Utah is going to look at it again like, hey, if we got five for Gobert, why can't we get more? And then Brooklyn's probably over there looking like, if they got five for Gobert, KD is 10 times the player he is. Why can't we get a lot more than that?
Yeah, you're literally going to have to trade literally probably your whole arena to get Kevin Durant right now. And I don't know. As I mentioned just to say a few minutes ago, I don't know if it's going to actually work out. I understand a lot can happen, but it's just, I mean, you have to be really smart, because reportedly he wants to play in Miami or Phoenix, right? Kevin Durant does. And supposedly the, which I would have probably done it too, but the Heat probably would have, or not necessarily, but the Heat would have had to trade Bam Adebayo and Kyle Lowry. I can understand trading Kyle Lowry, but not Bam Adebayo. And then they, the Suns, I think, would have had to trade Chris Paul, I think, right? So that wouldn't have been really worth it. So, but again, oh, sorry, what was that?
No, I was going to say, to me, the Suns really messed up. I think they should have signed Dayton a year ago to that extension. And now all of a sudden, you know, because I thought a couple weeks ago, I said that, you know, KD will land in Phoenix. They basically took themselves out of that with, you know, matching, I mean, either way, they were going to be screwed if they let him walk to the Pacers, or if they matched it and they matched it. So they basically took themselves out of it and leaves only Miami now, unless Toronto, you know, KD says okay to Toronto, and Toronto gives a huge package.
I can't see him wanting to go to Toronto, though, because, I mean, you saw Kawhi Leonard when he got traded to the Raptors. He won a championship and then he dipped right away, even though that team had another chance to win a championship if they would have had Kawhi, right? So I don't know if Durant would really want to go to Toronto, right? I think Miami and Phoenix would be the best spot. Golden State, of course, would be a great place. I mean, I was thinking that there would maybe be a chance that Durant would land in Portland. But with, you know, with Damian Lillard and stuff like that, but I don't think that's going to happen. But going back with DeAndre Ayton, right? The Suns, as I think I agree with you as well. I think they kind of screwed up. But at the same time, I don't know. I was really surprised that the Pacers were going all in for DeAndre Ayton, even though they had, I mean, I think they still have Miles Turner on the roster, right? So I was a little surprised they were going all in for DeAndre Ayton, but I mean, we'll see what happens, because the Suns now have their big three back, and I think they'll be in the playoffs next year. But I mean, it looks like he's going to be in Phoenix for at least this year, because he can't be traded unless the Suns agree to it, right? So we'll see what happens there. Let's go back to with Donovan Mitchell, though. I kind of want to talk more about this, though. The if I was the Knicks, I would have pulled the trade for Donovan Mitchell, because you need some type of star, right? Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle and RJ Barrett aren't really superstars, right? Donovan Mitchell is not quite a superstar yet, but he's getting to that point. Could you see Donovan Mitchell going anywhere else besides staying with the Jazz or going to the Knicks?
Yeah, the Heat. You know, him and Bam are best of friends. I mean, it's been rumored now for years. It feels at least, and obviously I'm on Heat Twitter all the time, and it feels like Donovan Mitchell is like Jimmy Butler and Victor Oladipo. It's just, it seems destined. Mm-hmm. If not now, when he's a free agent, that he's going to end up on the Heat for some reason. Bam, and you know, is one of the most likable players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to play with him. I, to me, everyone, you know, counts out the Heat and, well, they don't have assets and this and that. I just can't count out Pat Riley and Andy mm-hmm. Ellisberg in that front office and names that, you know, Heat fans know, like Adam Simon, Chet Cameron, guys in that front office that maybe the national mm-hmm. Media doesn't cover. But what that front office does is magical. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't count them out. I think their focus is on KD, but they know what's going on with Donovan. It was reported they had a sent in an offer and the Jazz declined it. It's between New York and Miami. I think Donovan does get moved. I never bought the report at the beginning when, you know, Woj said, oh, you know, they want to build around Donovan. Mm-hmm. I never bought that. I thought, you know, again, it's a leverage play. And everything being reported now, I'm taking with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. Truly, because Woj is, you know, talking for the teams. You have Shams talking for the players. Mm-hmm. You have Chris Haymes talking for certain, you know, all these reports, it's all leverage. It's all, you know, that's how these teams negotiate deals nowadays. So anything reported, I kind of just, okay, you know, let's see what actually happens.
Well, if you were the Heat too, and you had a chance to get Donovan Mitchell, would you trade Kyle Lowry and a few of the other players? Or would you just, I mean, it looks like you're shaking your head. Yes. So what else would you trade besides just Kyle Lowry? If you were the Heat and trying to get Donovan Mitchell,
I don't even think they would need. I would trade Kyle Lowry. I know a lot of people are down on Kyle Lowry. I still think he's a really, really good point guard.
Mm-hmm.
He was injured when people, I know nationally, Heat weren't covered at all this season, even though they were the one seed somehow. But there was a stretch when Jimmy and Bam were both out. Kyle mm-hmm. Lowry really, I mean, just, you know, carried that team, even though his stats don't show it. You know, just to get them through that stretch. For me, you don't even need to trade Kyle. I think a third or fourth team would be involved, as historically, mm-hmm. if you look at Pat Riley trades, they've all been going even back just a couple years ago with Jimmy Butler in the sign and trade, where, you know, to all the way back in 05, when they got Antoine Walker and James Posey and basically their whole rotation in one trade with Shaq and D Wade. I think that would be a type of trade that would happen. It would be probably Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, and probably mm-hmm. even maybe Duncan would get, you know, flipped to third or fourth team. You have Max Strus, who reportedly the Jazz really like. You have Gabe Vincent, you have Omer Yurtseven, a lot of younger guys that they can put in deals. But again, I think OKC, I think, is whatever. If the Heat do make a trade for KD or Donovan, OKC is going to be in that trade just because of the mm-hmm. protections on the pick. And now I see the Mavs might get in. I've saw some rumors on a 3-4 way deal. But again, like I said, it's between New York and Miami.
Okay. Yeah. It is interesting too, with the Heat, because yeah, I did see or hear some rumors before, you know, before Donovan Mitchell was reportedly being offer other teams are offering for him. I know he was interested in playing for the Heat. I think he did a few few stories on his Instagram or something like that, where he was with a few of the Heat players. So that would be fun to watch, because you'd have a big three of Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, and Bam Adebayo. And with how good they were last year, they could even be better. Definitely getting rid of that Duncan Robinson's contract would probably be huge for Miami, because I think they overpaid him. Tyler Hero is great, but I don't know if he can be a reliable starter, because it seemed like he was a better sixth man. Of course, because he won the Sixth Man of the Year award, right? But still, I mean, you kind of saw with the Heat last year. And of course, I think the one reason why they didn't make it past the Celtics is because they were just so banged up. But if you had a Donovan Mitchell in there, that team even looks scarier. So we'll see what happens with Miami. All right, now that we've mentioned most of the free agents or most of the news happening in the NBA, we haven't talked much about this, and it was John Wall going to the Clippers. That happened like basically the first day of free agency, right? He finally gets bought out from the Rockets. He ends up going to the Clippers, and a team that's well-built, I think, right now. And they have a good chance of winning it all. They did well last year, even when they didn't have their two stars, right? And Paul George played a little bit, but not as much. What did you think about John Wall going to the Clippers?
I liked it. I think he's not what he once was, but he's still going to be a very effective player, especially on that team, how deep they are. I think it's more, although the Clippers have learned this in the past, not to take the regular season off, but he'll be able to work his way back into the fold. Kind of easy, more easy just because of who they have on that team. With Norman Powell, Kawhi, Paul George, and it feels like, they're even Zubac. I mean, they just have depth on depth. I mean, they have 10, 11, 12 playable guys right now. I think a lot of teams wish they were the Clippers. But I like it. I think, he'll be able to provide a scoring punch. He can handle the ball at times. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes off the bench. Or if, he starts, but is one of the first guys to come out of the game and come back in with that second unit once he gets more, his rhythm back, because letting him really just be John Wall, even though he's not going to be the John Wall that we all know and love, but some version of it.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I totally forgot about Norman Powell for some reason. I forgot that they traded him last year and he looked good until he got hurt and then he came back, but still, I mean, that team is deep. Would you think, and this is kind of something that it was kind of shot down when I kind of mentioned it, but do you think the Clippers should maybe every once in a while start Reggie Jackson and John Wall and put maybe PG at the four and either Zubac or Morris at the five? And of course you have Kawhi at the three, or is that just not a good idea to put Paul George at the four?
I think it's too much ball handling, too many ball dominant players. You have four guys who like to pound the rock. I know Kawhi can play more off ball. PG has learned how to do that. But I think splitting Reggie, and I totally forgot about Reggie Jackson, to be honest. I think they're going to pick either Reggie Jackson or John Wall to start. And then I think Norman Powell is a slot. I would at least slot him in there to start. And to me, I think Kawhi would be a better four than maybe Paul George. But I mean, still defensively, that they seem pretty well covered. I the Clippers are going to be, people are going to start remembering them once. Everything blows over now. And it's funny, John Wall was one of the only moves really that happened so far through free agency. Because I mean, we've just talked about the two main pieces that are holding everything up, basically. To me, the Clippers are going to be, it's going to be them and Golden State, I think, with the Suns as well, depending on what the Suns do. If they trade Jay Crowder, if they keep, even though that's not a big, big piece, but still who they get back in return for him, because it seems like he's going to be on the move.
Yeah, it's funny how you kind of mentioned that people forgot about the Clippers last year. They completely forgot about the Clippers. Like, no one was talking about how good a coach Ty Lue did last year, even without Kawhi. People even sometimes think that Kawhi is not a superstar anymore, which I completely disagree. But I mean, if you look at that team, as long as they don't have more injuries, and as long as they don't underachieve like they did their first year. But you saw last year they made it all the way to the conference finals and won two. Looked very good even without Kawhi. So I think that Clippers team is going to be dangerous. Now they're going to have to play a healthy Warriors team most likely, which they haven't really seen, because the 2 years that they've been assembled, the Warriors haven't been good. So it's going to be a little different now for the Clippers, but I do think the Clippers and Warriors, as you mentioned, are probably gonna make the conference finals. And the tandem of John Wall and Reggie Jackson as your point guards is great. And then of course you have Kawhi and PG, Norman Powell, and then you have a solid center in Zubac. And then of course you have Marcus Morris. I mean, this team is just deep. They have Luke Kennard, who's a great 3-point shooter. They have Terrence Mann, who's a young up and coming player. So
I think they could even get deeper, because it'll be interesting to see if Marcus Morris. I think there's a bunch of trades that got held up, and not to cut you off, but I think there's a bunch of trades that got held up because of Kevin Durant, dropping that bomb 3 hours before free agency started. And I think we would have saw a lot of trades happen. So I wouldn't be surprised. I forgot about Marcus Morris too, because a lot of these fours, I think, throughout the league are coveted. You look at John Collins, Miles Turner, Marcus Morris, Jay Crowder. I think a lot of them are going to end up getting moved to other teams. And it could bring in, you know, for the Clippers, if they need a shooter, they can, you know, find something for the Suns. Same thing. They, if they need more, you know, I think you're going to see some moves be done. And I think the Clippers could even get deeper depending on what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, too. So now that we've talked about the Clippers, let's talk about the another early trade that happened. DeJounte Murray going to the Spurs. It seems now like the Spurs are going to go a complete rebuild. Let's talk about the Hawks standpoint at first. Now they get DeJounte Murray. They also have Trae Young. That's an interesting combination. I didn't think whatever would actually play together. But, I mean, do you think the Hawks did a smart thing of trading for DeJounte Murray to pair up with Trae Young?
Yeah, I think he's going to cover up a lot for him, and also he's going to take pressure. I mean, we saw him that first round series, albeit, I mean, they played one of the best defensive teams in the league. But when you have no help and you're, I mean, when they took Trae Young, I've never seen something like it where, I mean, Trae Young, you can consider a almost superstar. I mean, and you just totally take him out and he scores single digit points in multiple games in a playoff series. They needed to do something. They did something. It'll be interesting if they can bounce back from, you know, this disappointing season. I don't know. To me, I mentioned just the fours just now. I think John Collins gets moved. What they get back in return for him. Do they just get picks back? Do they get a rotational player that can be helpful? Do they get a combination of both? So it's tough for me to even a lot of these teams. It's like you kind of know who their stars are going to be, but you don't know the ancillary pieces because of, you know, everything's frozen. It's like we're all sitting here waiting, like, okay, you know, what's going to go on? I mean, it's like I don't know when you're releasing this, but it's like today the big news in NBA is LeBron's playing in the Drew League. So it's like, you know, that's what, because there's no news to be had.
Yeah, it's pretty much all free agency is done. DeAndre Ayton was kind of the last egg to really fall. And of course, Durant still could get traded. I mean, that still is kind of happening. But again, now we go to the Spurs side. It seems like the Spurs are going a complete rebuild, right? I don't think it was smart to trade Murray, even though there was reports that he wasn't going to re-sign with them once his contract ended. And they're going to go all in for the number one pick, which is kind of a risk now because most of the time, the worst team does not get the number one pick, right? But, I mean, do you think the Spurs are doing the right choice or right, or making the right decision of going a complete rebuild?
Yeah, I think they were kind of in the middle the past few years. That's not how the Spurs runs their, you know, Pop is not a, you know, he's either all in or I guess all out. To me, I think this is his going away present. I truly do. He came in with Tim Duncan. He can go out with Victor. I can never say his last name. Wembanyama, the kid from France, who's, you know, right now it looks like he's odds on favorite to be the number one overall pick because he's so talented, can shoot it, can put it on the floor, and he's 7 foot, I think, six. I mean, he's like, he's almost a baby KD. So I think that this might be Pop's last year, and he kind of gives them a, here you go, you know, here's your next superstar, build around this. And yeah, I mean, to me, I thought the Spurs, I thought Becky Hammon was going to end up staying and she would take over for Pop. Who knows? She might jump ship, you know, coach, you know, she might have taken this role in WNBA just so she knows how, you know, being a head coach is for a year or two and come back. I wouldn't be surprised. But to me, that, like I said, they probably wouldn't have re-signed him, I guess. And they just said, you know what, we'll get stuff in return. God, that trade was so, it felt like it was months ago now. I almost forgot what they got and they got for him. I know they got, I think they got some picks. They waived Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, it was pretty much just that. I think the Hawks also got another player, but they might have waived him too. But it was basically just picks and Gallinari.
Yeah, so I think for the Spurs, it was more of, okay, we're actually going for a hard reset here. It's not that we're going to try to be competitive. It's just, there we go. And you said it, you know, there's a risk that, you know, they don't even get. I haven't done too much digging into next year's draft, but I do believe next year's draft is supposed to be a, you know, pretty good draft. So even if they don't get the number one pick, I bet they can get someone. And it's the Spurs. they're like, you know, their developmental system is like, you know, up north in Toronto, in Miami, in Golden State, you know, those teams, they somehow find guys who, you know, no one knows about, but they develop them into really, really good quality NBA players, if not stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned Pop too, and you think, he's probably going to, like, as you just mentioned, you think he's going to retire after next year. But as you met, you also mentioned Becky Hammond, and then there's also could be, they, if Pop just decides to retire after next year, they could bring in Quinn Snyder. Maybe that's, you know, he's probably not going to, I don't think he's anywhere at the moment, but they could maybe hire Quinn Snyder. But do you think Pop is done after this year, after this next season?
I think so. It's kind of setting up that way, even though it's anticlimactic in a sense. But I think he's making moves so that way when he does leave, they're not left with nothing. I think he's doing something where it's like, okay, I'm going to give you guys something. And I don't think he'll totally be out of the fold. I think he'll stay in the organization. He'll take a step back and say, okay, you know, I can't go, you know, be on the road every day at 70, whatever, you know, how old is he, in his late 60s, early 70s? You know, I can't do that grind anymore, but I'll still be here. I'll help out. And Quinn Snyder would be a pretty good, I mean, it'd be big shoes to fill. And I know he didn't achieve, he achieved success in Utah, but not as great as I think they wanted to. But yeah, I think you mentioned him and I forgot about him. I would say he's probably more of a favorite right now to get that job, but yeah, I think after he has to be one or two more years. Maybe if they do get that number one overall pick, he says, you know, I'll coach him for a year just to get, you know, him into this, you know, Spurs type basketball, and then he'll stop. But yeah, I think he has one or two more years left.
Yeah. And two, I think, you know, I originally thought Becky Hammond was going to be the next hire. She now is with the Aces as head coach. I could see her jumping ship after just 1 year, but she did sign like a 4 or 5 year contract. So maybe she's there for the long haul. I think Pop is still, I think he's the coach, and I can't remember if he's the GM or the president, but I wouldn't be surprised if he retired as coach and either became the GM or just the GM or president and was just as the, one of the top organizations. But I could see a lot of things happening. But again, we'll see what happens with the Spurs. They could, you know, I mean, they could end up being better next year. I know they just brought back Keldon Johnson, which wasn't a huge sign, but it was something that they can build upon. But we'll see what happens with San Antonio. So before we, again, end the interview, and again, thanks for coming on. But I do want to talk a little bit about the draft. Of course, we all know that happened. That's about a month ago, too, which is crazy how time flies by. Yeah. But right now, it seems like Keegan Murray's looking really good right now. Of course, you know, you have Chet Holmgren, who was taken number two. You have Paolo Banchero, who's taken number one overall. He's looked pretty solid. You know, there's still Jabari Smith. Who do you think is the best? Who do you think is going to end up having, or who do you think is going to be, or be the best of all of the draft from this year?
I wasn't a big fan of Chet coming into the draft, and listen, it's still summer league. I don't take too much away from summer league just because, I mean, we've seen, I mean, got actually my co-host Jake, he sent me something, you know, through text the other day. I'm in a group chat with him, and he showed me just, you know, best stats from summer league. And I think Marcus Banks, if anyone even knows who that is, averaged 42 points in summer league. You can see some potential in summer league. I kind of take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I think Paolo is going to be really, really good. He's just, and normally Duke players, you know, I've noticed Duke players never become superstars in the league for some reason. I don't know why. It's more Kentucky and North Carolina guys. But I think Paolo will be really good. Someone that has really caught my eye in summer league, and I know I just said I don't take too much away, but Benedict Mathurin, kid that went to the Pacers, and he made a comment I know a couple weeks ago about LeBron doesn't faze him and he thinks he's better than LeBron, which was funny. But he's looked really good. That's, you know, kind of someone later, you know, in that mid first round that got taken. Or he was taken, I think, in a lottery still. Yeah, I think it's Paolo. Jaden Ivey, I know, is a popular pick among people. And you mentioned Keegan Murray. Everyone, you know, knows that whoever the Kings draft normally is a dud, and whoever is after them is superstar. I guess it's boring for me to go with the number one overall pick, but he truly is that good. And I think he, coming from Duke, where you know, they expect so much of you, and you know, he had Coach K, I think he'll do just fine. Obviously, he's in Orlando, so it's not the best of situations, but they do have a kind of young, nice young core there. So you know, he'll be free to play because you know, there's no real expectations on that team, so they'll just go out there and have fun.
Yeah, and again, with the Keegan Murray situation, I think he's doing great or whatever, but I would rather trust I'd rather trust Orlando than Sacramento, just because the Kings, just every year they can't get it right. Now, they do have Sabonis. They do have De'Aaron Fox. It seems like De'Aaron Fox is kind of underachieved lately. They did have a really good Tyrese Halliburton, but traded him. I thought that was kind of a not a great decision to trade him for Sabonis, which Sabonis is good, right? But Halliburton was good too. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I do like Chet Holmgren. I understand he needs to bulk up. But I think that was the same way with Kevin Durant when he was drafted, right? He needed to bulk up. And I understand they're a little different, but I really like Holmgren as well. But, you know, Jamari Smith could end up being the best player. Jaden Ivey, of course, as you mentioned. I really can't say. I really like Chet Holmgren, though, but we'll see what happens. I understand, again, Summer League, you can't really trust it because, as you mentioned, is it Marcus Banks who's the leading, who had the
That was what it was sent to me the other day. I was just like, I didn't even know someone could average 42 in Summer League, but it happened. So I was like,
that sounds more like 2K numbers, really. So
yeah, interesting.
And again, now that we've pretty much got everything else, do you want to talk about anything else or talk more about your podcast before we end the show?
Yeah. Just, you know, we just started up the YouTube. So if you guys can go, I know, we're going to put it in the description of this podcast, but if you guys can go subscribe to that, like, comment, however, because YouTube algorithm is so weird that just try to get through that. I enjoy talking basketball. I also actually have a sports page, also Miami Sports Updates, where I cover all the Miami accounts or Miami sports teams that I've been doing now for years. And it's just, you know, I do it more just because I enjoy it. And you know, if it becomes something, it becomes something, if not, not, but, it's me, the podcast we just revamped. It's me, my co-host Jake. And then Jake is, going to be rotating each week with two other co-hosts, Brandon and Chris, who are also friends of mine, and, going to be talking sports. We'll be talking, some, you know, sports betting and stuff with some of the co-hosts, and just kind of have fun with it. And again, I appreciate you having me on. You got to, I know you've had me and Jake on, so we got to bring you on the Around the League, in the next few weeks or so, I think. And, we can, you will be the, you know, I can ask you questions and get your thoughts on stuff.
Okay. I would be down. Definitely. Just message me whenever you get the chance. So again, thanks for coming on. Again, don't forget to check out the Around the League basketball podcast. Again, all the links and all the, you know, podcast, YouTube, and all that stuff will be down in the description below, all the social media sites. And again, thanks for coming on, and have a good rest of your summer and enjoy the season coming up.
For sure. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's the show. Can't thank you enough for listening to the Sports Town podcast. We really appreciate it. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook at sportstown_podcast or on Twitter at sportstownpod. We release new episodes every week. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day. Here's some independent music to send you into the greatest week of all time.